Right? You ever go to a movie or something like that, or go to buy a guitar or something that you like to use? You know, God gives us everything to, you know, there's a scripture, I believe it's in 1 Timothy 6:17, is that God gives us all things richly to enjoy. You know, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life, John 10:10, that you might have it abundantly or more abundantly. And the Amplified says, to the rich, to the full, till it overflows. You know, you don't enjoy life if you don't have your needs met. You ever notice that? If you pay your bills, you got only $2 left. And that's, you know, that's not enough. So I'm going to start this off. And I told all our staff, we're gonna teach from this, so that you guys can all have a foundation. It's just, you know, there's illustrations in the Old Testament that we could use as an illustration. But the New Testament, we're New Testament believers. Amen. And I was taught in my school, my college, Bible college, that we are New Testament believers. You know, and then we need to understand what the New Testament says about this. And so anything that you give God didn't originate from you. Everything you have, even the very breath you have, the energy you have, comes from God. So you can't go to work without God giving you the energy and the breath that you have. And so we need a foundation of understanding that when you go to work every day, remember that God gave you that energy to go there. He gave you the wits, the mind, and the understanding and the ability to go and make a living. But that all is not for yourself. You know, we don't just exist and we don't just live to have a holiday or to have a cottage or just to buy a car. That's not the purpose of living. There's more than just living for that stuff. And sometimes we've been criticized, you know, in our family, you know, in our family of churches about that. This is what it's all about. It's not all about that. You know, there's been an overemphasis on different things. You know, when I was growing up, I was taught in my church to be poor is holy, and to have nothing, and to just go along, try to make it in life, you know, that's godliness. And then on the other end, there's that whole place where you just live for yourself, live for extravagance, live and buy stuff, and to just spend it on your own, have 2 houses, have 7 cars, and fly all over the world, have 7 camps. We need to enjoy some of that. And some of us never had a camp. You know, you can buy how many snowmobiles? You know, even clothing, right? But everything we have to understand, comes from God. And so, believers are not to, you're not able to give something, anything to God, unless it came from God. So in Romans 11, 33, 35, it says, "O depth of riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Or who has given him and shall not recompense unto him?" So there's another translation of verse 35 that says, who has first given to him so as to receive payment in return? So this makes it clear that we are not to demand of God to give us what we want. You know, God has set out, he gives us all things richly to enjoy. And so when we come and give, we're giving, you know, out of the fact that God's allowed us to have something to give. We should have, you know, our talents that we have talents. Every one of us has some kind of talent. Some of us seem to have more than one talent. And others have a talent, but they don't ever use it. You know, the Bible is clear about that. There's people don't use their talents for the kingdom of God. They just use it for themselves and other things. So we should use our energy and our talents to serve God with. And not, you know, our time. All the time that you have doesn't all belong to you. Some of it belongs to God. You should be able to give your time to God. Give your talents to God. Give your funds to God to so that we can bring the gospel out to our neighborhood, our country, and so on. So in the Old Testament, it does say that, you know, we can have riches from heaven, from God. So I want to remind you today, just that one little idea, that everything that comes, that you have in your hand, it doesn't come from your own self. It all comes from God. God has given you the ability to have something to give. Let me just read another scripture before we close here for this. And I want to start this. You know, I want to show you. Because, you know, we take offerings, we receive offerings because, you know, we don't get government funds. We don't get funds from the federal government. We don't get money from the provincial government. We don't get any city tax money. We don't get any Coca-Cola money. We don't get any Tim's money. We don't get any money. Nobody, no business would give us anything like that. So we have to, of our own people that are sitting here, everything you see here came from because these people have given. The city you're sitting on came because somebody gave the offerings. This building we have is from somebody who gave from this church. We don't have millionaires in this church yet. You know, just this guy here in the front row. But, you know, so everything is from the generosity of the people. People give because we're taught, number one, we give because we love God. Amen. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. So if you can tell if you love God if you do what God says. Ask yourself this question. Am I doing what God says? Am I being obedient to God? And I know when I first learning about giving, you know, God started teaching me on the inside. And we've been teaching this. We'll talk about this some more. And that is that everybody has a voice on the inside. It's called conscience. Your spirit has a conscience. It tells you what's right or wrong, what you should do, what you should not do. And when I first came into the kingdom of God, got born again, started going to church, I started thinking about this. You know, what's my part? And the very first thing the Lord taught me is to give. And I gave without the pastor telling me. I gave because no one ever told me. I just gave because it was in my heart. And I'd take somebody out to lunch or give somebody $100. And if God moved in my heart during any time, I would always look to be sensitive to give to somebody, whoever is in need. Because I know what it's like to be without. And I wanted to give out of generosity. So we want to make sure that we have this view in mind. It's, everything for us is not just to consume for ourselves. You can only ride so many vehicles and have so much cars. How many options do you want in your car? You know, like there's so many options you could have in your car. And so here, David prayed this eloquent prayer. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11, 14 to 16, he says, O Lord, is the greatness and power, that is glory and victory and majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is a kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as a head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. Thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. In thine hand is great, and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all the things come from you, and all is thine. Thine own we have given thee. O Lord, our God, all that is in store that we have prepared to build thee is a house, for thine holy name cometh of thine own hand, and it shall be of thine own. This is the last part of verse 16. So he's telling us, you know, he's building that building there. Everything he's building, everything they do came from him. You know, God will, if God called you to do anything, he's going to provide for you. He's going to fund whatever he calls you to do. If God told you to have a ministry, he's going to give you the money to do it. He's going to give you the means, the wisdom to find ways to have that funded. We don't write a letter every year. We don't send to our prime minister's office to say we need some money. Now, it comes from you. It comes from all of us who have given here. I've been here for 37 years and in ministry, longer than some of you have been alive. And I've been giving. I gave for the first time in my early 20s. I started giving 10% of my wages. And I remember I was going to jail, too. And I was going to go to the court and say, they asked me, why aren't you paying your debts? I was going to say, because God said to give 10%. This is where I was at in my life. Of course, you should pay your bills. Pay your bills first. And we need to give to God. So let's stand up, please. And I hope you can listen to me for the next section, because I'll be teaching. So don't get mad at me, because every time I teach, people start closing their ears on giving. That's why I give this guy responsibility to start. I gave Pastor Steve, Elder Dave, to teach on finances. But sometimes he doesn't do what I tell him. I told him, you need to teach from this book. He hasn't done it yet, so that's why I'm starting right now. So he hasn't read the book and didn't, I don't know if he read it, but he might have read it. So we want to make sure that you have the principles and be told exactly what the Bible says. And listen, thank you so much for providing and giving. There's a lot of you, I would say the majority of you, are giving your time. You're giving your skill, your energy, whatever God anointed you to do, and you're giving financially. So I thank you. And God thanks you, and because you're faithful and loyal to God. And you're the first thing we said, we give because we love God, right? So remember that. Say, I give because I love God. So God, love is demonstrative. You show it. If you say you love somebody, then show it. Tell people. Hug them. Tell them I love you. Take them for dinner. Go and clean their yard. Do something for them. And the second thing is that we love, we know, is because we don't, you know, we believe in Him, right? We believe in God. We love God, and we have faith in God. That's what we do. We have faith in whatever He said to do. We will do, because we do it by faith. We have faith in God that if He said to give, then we do it. He doesn't want you to do without, and He has in mind. The Scripture says, when you give, there's an account in heaven, and then you can believe. Because God will always transfer back to you in your funds. Check your money right now. You might be in it's coming, downloading. So, Lord, we want to thank you tonight as we are learning, endeavoring to learn about your ways of operation in the area of finances. And so we bless you. We thank you. We thank you that we have strength and energy to do what you call us to do. And I ask you to reach your hand as I prayed today for every person who's been giving tithe. They're giving their 10%, and they have faith in it. They're not giving because they're afraid of you. They're not giving because you're going to punish them. They're not giving them because there's a legal thing about it and the devil will attack them. No, they're giving because they love you and they want to obey you. And because of that, out of that, you're going to multiply their giving. And so we're also standing with every person here that whatever they give, financial giving, it will multiply back to them, and they'll have plenty left over for themselves, and they will not do it out. You said, the Lord is my shepherd, and your scripture said that, I will not lack. And so we will not lack for anything. So we thank you. And if there's anybody here that's lacking, if anybody needs money in this place right now, I'm praying for them at this rate, this moment, that God, you said you'd give seed to the sower and bread for food. And if they are going to sow seed, if they're going to decide to plant seed and start giving, you will bring seed to them. That's what you said. Not only will you bring seed to them, but you'll multiply whatever they give back to you. It'll come back to them. So we want to thank you for that. We're looking for it. We're gonna see it happen. Not people in this church will not lack financially. They will not lack for transportation. They will not lack for housing. They will not lack for clothing. In any other way, we're praying for this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. And then we're going to call Pastor Romano. He's going to come and teach. I'll come back in a moment. Thank you, Pastor Dave. And I know he's got some money there. Praise God. You want to give it to me? All right, there it is. See? Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's a demonstration. He loves his pastor, but he also loves God. I was going to joke about this, but it's not time to joke about that. Anyway, you got your Bibles or something to write on? If you know, in the old days, we used to have pens and paper. My pastor used to say, do you have anything to write on? Whoops. It's going on air. I want to take this off because this is a polyester. And if you got a scissor, I'd like to cut this. So let's see how it goes here. There. If not, I'll have to. There it is. Praise God. Take this. Thank you very much. I see you got brown shoes too. All right, you see, he follows his pastor wherever he goes. So anyway, if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to go with me to a couple of scriptures. I will give you this in a second here before, because I'm neglected to send this back to the sound here. How many are happy to be in church tonight? This is a Wednesday night edition of the 2025. Is it 225? Yeah, it is. 225. This is a new and improved version of Wednesday night service. So I want to teach you about the Spirit-led life. We want to continue on our session. I had a number of teachings that I had given. I want to continue on this area. This is a book I've been writing, so it'll be out tonight sometime. Yeah, it'll be out sooner enough. So it's going to. This topic is the Spirit-led love, and the title I made a title for it so that you can understand how to hear God's voice, and how to hear God's voice, because there's a lot of voices speaking. And I'm going to give you the same scriptures I gave you before. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and verse 16, and Proverbs 20:27. Don't think you know a scripture or all about a scripture because we read it a few times, because you actually can quote it. The Bible is eternal. It's continual. You'll learn more and more out of the verse of scriptures that you're hearing. You know, just when you think you know a scripture, God adds on something else in there. So here it says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You could say it this way, the sons of God or the daughters of God or the people of God are led by the Spirit of God. You're going to have to understand, if God's going to speak to you, it's going to be by the Holy Spirit. You know, a spiritual way or through someone, a Bible teacher, a prophet of God, a teacher, in a supernatural way. I want to tell you something, a version as well, in a moment. I'll come back to about God speaking to you, but I don't remember you pointed out to me, wink at me or something, honey. Tell me what it is. Because I want to show you about the supernatural way God speaks to you. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself, and that's the King James, the old King James gave a wrong translation. It says itself, calls the Holy Spirit it. Holy Spirit is not an it. Holy Spirit is not a cloud. He's not some kind of mist. He's not some kind of bird. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And he's here right now. And if you're born again, he lives inside you. And if you're not born again, he's waiting to be invited inside. He's already there with you. He was there before you were born again. He was there with you while you were there. But after you're born again, he's not only with you, but he's in you. And when you serve him, he'll come upon you and empower you to do whatever he's called you to do by the anointing, the call. And so he says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. So it tells us here the Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit. You know, the Bible says that your own spirit knows things from the word that you learn. But the Holy Spirit will come in on the side of that, and he'll tell you it's true. So he's what we call a co-witness. The word witness is actually co-witness. He'll come along inside and verify whatever he's got, whatever you know from the scriptures. He'll come along, he'll verify something that God's speaking to you about. So that's how it works. That's how this whole process works. In Proverbs 20:27, what we wanted to get out of Romans 8:14 and 16, that Holy Spirit is talking, and that he speaks through what we call the witness. And so we'll talk very specifically how he does that in the next little while. So if you're following, you come regularly to Wednesday night, you'll get one of these, every once in a while you get one of these teachings. Because I don't always follow the same sequence. I might skip one and go back to another one. So if you've been following me. So Proverbs 20:27 says the spirit of man, that's your core of your being, that's your inner nature. The spirit of man, what about the spirit of man? Well, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. In other words, God will enlighten you. God will light you up on the inside. God will give you light, illuminate something on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit, he says, candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That's the inward, their innermost being. He will give you this illumination on the inside. Sometimes you'd be sitting there, all of a sudden something becomes so clear because the Spirit is speaking to you. So here's our point tonight. If you miss anything, go back to this. You'll find out this is what I'm teaching about. And that is, God is endeavoring to lead every one of us by His Spirit. So you need to put that down somewhere. You can say it another way if you want. But God is endeavoring. He's actually purposing right now to speak to you, to lead you to a job, into a relationship, out of a relationship if you're with the wrong crowd. He's leading you to a place, and he is getting you prepared for ministry, or showing you what to minister, who to minister to, and he's trying to show you things, what to do about your personal life, how to stop being angry, how to stop blaming people. He's constantly talking to you about different issues in your life. He's showing you everything, not just spiritual things, but practical things, like stop eating sugar. Or still don't eat too much lard, whatever. And my daughter, we was going into the other day to, she's a TikTok person. She makes a lot of TikToks and gets like all these hits. And she does it with her Moomoo. And she gets all these hits everywhere, all over the world. And we were going in. She said, I'm going to be advertising for the Bannock Lady. And so she went to the Bannock Lady. We went in there. She did all that. I don't know how much. Did anybody see that one about the Bannock Lady? You did. And so she showed the Bannock Lady. We're going to the in there. So we went in there. And she asked me while I was in line, Dad, what's tasty about the Bannock Lady? What is it about this food here? I said, it's the lard. So a lot of grease anyway. Anyways, that was a kind of an inside niche joke, but the people enjoyed it, if you like it or not. But if you don't like it, you might get mad. I don't know, whatever. You know, it's up to you. So, as an introduction, it's important that we hear God's voice every day, in every detail of our lives. It's important every day before you get out of your house that you endeavor to hear God, to be led by God. Every day. It's important. The writers of the scriptures, both of the Old and New Testament, reveal to us that hearing God's voice is premier. The most important thing that you could ever do is to find the will of God, the purpose of God for your life. And so, but how exactly do we find the voice of God, since there are so many noises and so many voices in the world, when you're so busy with life that you didn't even spend time listening on the inside what God's saying? Many people just get busy. They run out of their home. They never take time to think about scripture. They never pray. They just eat their cereal and they run out. Fight with the in traffic, whatever. And then they get busy in life and they get mad at everybody. They get mean. And they get hurt. And they have resentments, and they hate people. Christians shouldn't hate, but the Bible says they do. That's why God tells us to love one another. People get so busy that their minds and their emotions get so entangled with their soul that they can't hear in their spirit anymore. They get so busy. And that's why it takes time for some people to hear God longer because they gotta sift through all that junk in their spirit, in their heart. You gotta sift through all the anger and all the jealousy and all the pain until they come to a place where they can hear God. And there's that idea of it. And I was told, if you want to hear from God, keep a clear conscience. Because when you need to hear God, right away, you can hear him right away. And you don't have to go through a two-week fasting. And you can just hear God right away, very clear. It's important that we live with clear conscience. That we don't sabotage ourselves. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome. He says in 1 Corinthians 14:10, the King James says, There are so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Whether the voices, their voices or languages, we must know, and all throughout all the noise, that God is speaking to us so we can follow him and complete our mission for God, to complete our destiny. You know, there's people right now, they're missing their destiny. They're missing their purpose. They're not happy in life. They're mad at everybody. They're mad at the prime minister. They're blaming Trump. They're blaming the ban office. They're blaming the mayor. They're blaming the MPs, the MMPs, and the PSDs and PSWs. Whatever, they're blaming everybody because of their problems. When maybe it's themselves. And also, so we have to take a good look and to really, if we're gonna, we shouldn't blame people for missing God. You know, it's hard to miss God. God will bring you people and they'll tell you different things. They'll show you different things. Like, you know, sometimes we think we know everything. That's why we have mentors and people who show us things and talk to us and show us where we might be wrong. Because the Holy Spirit, he says, I'll show you, the Holy Spirit will show you all things. He'll show you the truth and tell you things. And the truth, sometimes you don't like to hear the truth because you love whatever you're doing. But nobody in here is like that. We know that. So everyone should know the voice of God. Everyone should know the voice of God. The Bible says, let everything be established by two or three witnesses in Matthew 8, 16. In other words, you have to, the principle here is that find two or three scriptures that show you that scriptures that tell you that you need to hear God's voice and that, you know, there's a reason for that. So every child of God can know the voice of God clearly enough in order to follow his will, his plan, his purpose for their lives. In John chapter 10, verse 4, Jesus said after he had gathered his flock, he walks ahead of them. God walks ahead of them. You know, here's the thing about the principle. Sometimes people run ahead of God and they say, God, please bless this. And God can't bless it because he didn't give you that assignment. He didn't give you that thing, whatever you're asking God to bless. It's you choose it. And he says he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. You know, we follow God because we know his voice. In verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice. So if God has a voice and he is speaking to us, yeah, the question for us to ask ourselves, why aren't we hearing God? Are you too busy? Are you too much in emotional pain and angry and whatever you got going on inside you that you can't hear God and make a distinction that God is talking to you? So he says, my sheep hear my voice and they're familiar with it and they follow it. And here's the thing about it. There's some people, they just don't want to hear God. They said, I make my own decision. They said, I'm just going to do whatever. And so they just do whatever. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 3, verses 5 to 10 said this. Moses was certainly faithful in his house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths of God that God will reveal later, but Christ as a son in his charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope of Christ. That is why the Holy Spirit says, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. So there are people that are hardening their hearts. They're making their hearts, making it difficult for themselves to hear God. That's what he's saying here. So it says, when they rebelled, in other words, when people want to do their own things and they're going to go in that direction, then they're going to go in that direction, they're not going to hear God. If you decide I'm going to just do whatever I want. And when they tested me in the wilderness, he says, he's using this as an illustration for us. There your ancestors tested me and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. So I was angry with them, and I said, and their hearts always run and turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. This is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 to 10. We can see that because of this, people are not hearing God's voice. He's telling us because of rebellion. Whatever rebellious nature you have on the inside of you, you're saying, nope, I'm going to do what I want to do. Don't tell me what to do. You know, you tell your parents, you know, your parents are there for a reason. They're the first ones to show you about submission and authority. Those are the first ones that God's given you for submission and authority. You know, people like to say, oh, bless God, thank God for authority, as long as it's not me. Right? You can have submission authority, but don't you tell me what to do. You know, Pastor Ken said this to me one time when he was pastoring in another place. He says to me, one person came up to him and said to him, Pastor, you just tell me, you can tell me anything you want. And he went up to tell those persons what he thought. But he said, don't you tell me what to do. I thought you just told me to tell you. You know, so here's something today that we live in today. As the prophet Jeremiah declared, Jeremiah 31, verse 33 to 34, he said, I'll put my laws in their inward parts. He's talking about today. Jeremiah was prophesying about today. God put his word in your heart. He's putting that voice of conscience in you to show you what's right and what's wrong. He says, in their inward parts, that's your spirit, they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. All of us, we know the voice of God, and sometimes we don't because we haven't really learned to pay attention, to learn how to hear God. You know, how many of us have a stack of stuff at home where we say, I'm going to hear God. Here's 25 books I'm going to learn how to hear from God. You know, so sometimes, you know, we want to, we don't hear, and so on. Sometimes we say, this is what we say. I don't know if God is speaking to me. How many of you ever said that? I don't know if God's speaking. Is he speaking to me? I don't know. Is he speaking to me? And Pastor, please tell me, is God speaking to me? I've had people say different things like that to me. And if he is speaking, I don't know it. And if he did speak to me, I want to know, but I don't know it. And that's what they're stuck in that. He said, I really feel confused, but I want to follow God. I desire to put his purpose and plan into my life. I want him to. And we have discussed in this church, with these people, we have discussed that man is created in three parts. First, we're a spirit being. That's how you have to think of yourself as. You're not a physical being, per se. You're, first of all, a spirit being. Everybody craves the supernatural, right? Everybody craves the supernatural. And you have a soul. In other words, you have emotions. You can think. You can make decisions. You have on the inside of you, you know things and so on. You have imagination. And so you have that on the inside of you. But you have also a body. You live in a body. And your body talks to you. Your body has a language. Your body has voices. I'm hungry. I'm hot. I'm cold. I'm tired. Don't talk to me. I'm too tired. So it's hard to talk to somebody at the end of the day when you spend that 35 seconds of talking to God before you go to sleep at night. That's not enough to hear God because you spend all the energy doing everything else except talk to God about supernatural things. You know, we want to hear God talk to us. We want to hear, if I say, oh, we're bringing a prophet in. he comes from the south somewhere, some big city. And he can prophesy to people. He can read your mail. He's coming next Sunday. And and everybody would just get all excited and go, ooh. Right? Everybody would say, ooh. You know, you're all impressed because, and he walks in and he looks like a, man, he looks like a prophet. Huh? Long flowing hair. He's got a staff on him. Right? And he walks in probably, we were watching a movie yesterday about David and Samuel was a prophet. And everybody, when he comes in, went, oh, the prophet's coming in. You could read my mind right away, you know. We always think about a prophet like that, right? But prophets don't always read minds or spirits. He doesn't know everything. He only knows what God tells him. Amen. So we're impressed about that. It's a supernatural ability. Or an apostle, whatever, they move with supernatural anointings. They can heal the sick and do miracles if God shows them and he leads them in that way, you know. But if we say we're inviting a pastor, they said, oh, man. What does he have? You know, he doesn't have miracles and signs and wonders and so on. But, you know, every Sunday you see miracles in this church. Pastor preaches to you. There's a guy called Roma that talks to you every week. But he gets under that anointing, and he talks to you. It's not as spectacular as working of miracles and the gift of faith, per se. You know, but he speaks with the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and discerning his spirits in the service on a Sunday. But it's not that spectacular, but you're sitting there looking, how did he's written my mail? After the service on last Sunday, I got five letters right away to tell me, Pastor, you read my mail. I had a note from somewhere else out of town, and they said to me, you read my mail. That's called discerning a spirit. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and it's flowing all the time, and people miss it all the time. If you're coming to hear Roma, you're going to be badly, sadly disappointed. But if you hear God, you say, God, that's the pastor that he's anointing. He's going to speak to me. He's speaking on healing, but I know he's going to speak to my family situation, and God will speak to you. He'll talk to you. And there's an anointing here by the power of God. It's here all the time, and you didn't even know it. The supernatural teaching, the teaching ministry on the pastor is a supernatural counseling service free to every person that comes here. Amen. Teach you about money. Teach you about your family, your children, and everything else. God's speaking all the time. Amen. I thought I'd add that on there. It's not going to cost anything. I'm not going to charge nothing for that at all. And so we have discussed man is on three dimensions. He's a spirit being lives in a physical body, or possesses a soul lives in a physical body. And we talked to you about Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We saw the three nature of man there. You want to study that, look at it. We have made a distinction about that. Through our physical bodies, we live in this physical world. We deal with the physical world, this natural world, through our feelings and whatever impulses we have in our physical body. You know, if you happen to touch something hot, your body will tell you it's hot. Don't get out of there very quickly. Your body will automatically get out of there, right? If it's hot. Your soul, you can contact and communicate with the intellectual world because you can think through your mind and your thoughts and emotions. You go through all that stuff with your soul. You can make a conversation with yourself and with other people through with that as well. How you interact with other people. Our spirits, we contact God. God contacts you through your spirit. He's not a mind. He's not a physical body. He'll talk to you through your spirit. And so we need to follow what we call the witness, as we mentioned in Romans chapter 4, chapter 8, verses 14 and 16. The Holy Spirit will talk to you through the witness. And so the Apostle Paul said that he would lead us by his spirit through what we call the inner witness. And that this inner witness, what is it? We asked the question. The dictionary says, defines witness as to see and hear and to know personally and by personal presence. That's what it says in the dictionary. But it also means a formal witness by a spectator, a bystander, to testify and to give or afford evidence. So the Holy Spirit will give evidence of things he knows in the spiritual realm. He will show you things. He will tell you things. The Holy Spirit will do this as Jesus said, notice this, he said over here. And John 14, 16, and 17, he says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate, a comforter, advocate, it says here, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, verse 17, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. So if you don't know the Holy Spirit is there, how would you ever try to find him if he's not there, if you don't think he's there? He's not going to come and force you and grab you by the throat and neck and say, listen, I've been talking to you. He's not going to do that. He's always so gentle and kind. He talks to us. And so, but you know him, Jesus said, because he lives in you and now and later will be in you. He talks about that before they were born again there. On a practical level, the witness is an intuition. Everybody say intuition. In other words, you all of a sudden have this knowing. Something is not right, or something, there's something more to be known. Or there's whatever you need, there's something, get ready for something. He'll tell you on the inside of you. It's what we call a knowing. There's kind of sort of a green light, go ahead, or an inward guidance that says proceed with caution, or there's some kind of a peace in there about something. That you're okay, it's okay, what's happening is okay. Even though you see trouble, you say, you know you're going to be okay. You know, I talked to somebody the other day. He said, I was buying something, and this person started talking about Trump and all the stuff is going on. And I said, so what are you afraid of, like that? She said, well, I'm afraid, prices of everything. I'm going to be retiring, and it's going to cost so much money and so on. And start talking like that, right? There's a lot of people are afraid because of it. And so if we're not careful, we'll be so scared too, right? So you don't want to set foot on, you know, across the border in case Trump sees you, right, and charge you. So it can be an intuitive no, or an easiness, a red light, a stoplight, something that says don't do this. So we have these three messages that we have. Generally, three sources to consider when you're asking, when you're looking for the voice of God. First of all, is number one is your flesh. I remember Brother Higgins said, he left one church and he left with, I just didn't finish things. It was horrible. He left for something else. And the Spirit of God, when he was in another church, I guess in that one place, I'm not sure exactly how it went, but one day he had this uneasiness that God was somehow speaking to him about his last church that he went to, that he should go back there. And he's wondering, that doesn't seem right. Why would I want to go back there? It wasn't right when I was there, and I was glad to get out of there. But now I have this witness that there's something about that thing. I don't know what it is. Lord, I wish you would show me anymore. And so he kept thinking about it for 2 weeks. And the Lord started talking to him. You should go back to that place. When he was at that church, he couldn't even preach. He said, yeah, I couldn't preach. I tried praying. I did this and that. I just couldn't do anything. I left that church. They didn't think I could preach anything. But he left. And the Lord said to him, I want you to go back there. But in his mind, in his emotion, he did not want to go back there in his flesh. His flesh recoiled to the idea to go back there. In his self, in his own emotional state, his physical state, he did not want to go back there. But on the inside of him, way down inside of him, while he's washing dishes every night, and he hears, you got to go back there. He asked his wife for advice. He said, honey, did the Holy Spirit talk to you anything about that last church? He said, well, if he did, I don't know it. And she thought about it. She said, you know what? Yes, he's been saying something about that church. And he asked her, do you want to go back to this? Oh, no, I'd never want to go back there again. Then he knew something. He said he knew something. He said, I knew the Holy Spirit was talking. Because if it was our flesh, our flesh was saying no. But on the inside, it was coming different from the outside. He knew that he was supposed to go back there. Because sometimes, our flesh talks to us and we want to do something because we don't like it or we don't want to do it. It's not our choice. It's not the one we wanted. But on the inside, the Holy Spirit says, go ahead and do it. And so he said he went back there. It was the best thing he ever did. He could preach now. He could do everything. Everything went well. He said it was the best church he ever had in his whole life. He left there. Everybody in that city wanted that church after he left. But before that, nobody wanted it. But the Lord did something. And so we can't always count on our flesh. We need to ask ourselves if we're making decisions. You know, is it your flesh that's making the seed of the decisions? So then you have the flesh, then you have the devil. The devil is going to have some say whether he's speaking to you or not. We know the devil is mean and ugly and unkind. And the devil tells you, go and slug your neighbor. Go ahead and steal from him and do what. You know right away it's the devil. And I would write a page on Facebook and tell them how ugly they are. Well, that's not the Holy Spirit. Of course, you could get charged too. But then God talks to you like we did earlier by the witness. So you have those three things to consider when you're making decisions. And the Bible says that the devil, he convinced Adam and Eve to make some decisions, wrong decisions. He appealed to their flesh. Their lower nature there, and to decide on something. And so we need to see that. And Jesus was led, as we read earlier, he was led to the wilderness. Well, who wants to go to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? We don't want to do things sometimes because of choices like that. So the world will offer you a lot of things. 1 John 2:15 and 16. The world will offer you a lot of stuff. Come on in. Nobody wants you, we'll take you in. I know that church doesn't like you. Come on, let's go for a drink. Let's have a pot smoking contest right here. Who can smoke the most? Whatever. You know, let's go ahead and gamble. Let's do whatever. Let's have a great time. Let's party up. Come on, let's party up. Let's forget about the world. That pastor didn't love you anyway. He's nuts. Let's get away from him. I mean, you know, the devil talked to you. He's crazy. He's crazy. He'll talk to you. He'll say a lot of things. You know, he'll say, well, you know, of course, all the people in the church knows how bad you really are anyway, so you might as well leave. So Jesus said the devil is the prince of this world, and he's doing a lot of things that he's gotten away with that the people blame, that God is doing these things. I know I have been. Have you ever thought about this? I know some of you never had my background, but everything that happened to me in the past, they said, oh, God did it. He's trying to teach you something. Well, I waited a long time for a lesson, but it never came. And so it was horrible. So how does God speak to us generally? He speaks to us in two major ways, and we'll close with this. First of all, he usually sends you a letter, an email. No, God will talk to you if you're reading his word every day. How many of you read the word every day, every night? Some of you are not raising your hand. But listen, God will talk to you every day. That's a letter to you. Read, especially the New Testament. Read it. You know, we have a thing here. We encourage everybody to read their New Testament or their, what do you call this, devotional? One-year Bible. How many of you have that one-year Bible? Well, 17 of you. The rest of you, we need to get that. Read the one-year new Bible every day, and all of a sudden, like we're already one-third of the year again now, right? How many think that the world is going faster, spinning faster? Yeah, it is, eh? It's already Thursday tomorrow, right? It's crazy. We just started, right? Weren't we here an hour ago, Sunday morning? Like, this is crazy, is it? Oh, my Lord, what's happening? So anyway, so we do have a little bit more time at the end of the day, right? A little bit more sunlight. Yeah, we didn't have that much sun today. But anyway, God will speak to you what we call the general will of God. And that is, you can find chapter and verse in the Bible about how to make decisions in life. You can go to that chapter and whatever and read about it, you know. Say, for instance, you can learn about, 1 Corinthians 14, how to use your tongues in church. Don't pray. Don't babble off tongues onto everybody. New people come at the door. Can you hear me speak in tongues? Huh? You're scaring everybody. You're scaring all the people that we want to come to church. So that's why we tell people, listen, be careful, use your wisdom when you're dealing with people, right? They think first of all, they always thought we were nuts. But then you verified it by doing what you did. Anyways, Mark Hankins, he said in the summertime, he says, when I was in high school, I'd bring my friends to come to church with me. They're like 16, 17-year-old people. They come into church on Sunday. And, my mother had a really bad episode, and she had a nervous breakdown, and she got really sick. And her mom and dad were in ministry, and they got so burdened down with the things of life and running a church and ministry that mom got really sick mentally. And God healed her from that. And she was so happy. And so every once in a while in church Sunday morning, she'd just jump up, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. And she'd start dancing around in the front row. And, nobody wants their mother, hey, mom, please. You don't want your mom to be like that, eh? When the Spirit of God moves, she's the first one. And then she's just jumping up and down. Mom, please, calm down, mom. Mom, my friends are here. So one day he brought his friends into church, Pentecostal church. And, kids, you don't tell people at school, hey, you Pentecostal or you Baptist? Okay, you can be my friend. You don't ask for that at church and in school, right? You just become friends with people. Because, I like your hair. Come on, be with me, But anyway, so they come to church. And then during the service, my mother just got so excited. She ran around the church. You know how to do that church? They run around. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! She's running around the church like that. And those guys going like this. Who's that? And Mark says, I don't know. Well, he's going to say, that's my mother. And she's crazy. Why that Pentecostal? But anyway, the story about it was this. She'd get happy the Holy Ghost would move because she got healed tremendously. He said, you don't realize when someone like that in church, you go to church and someone just jumps up and dances and, you don't know what their story is. You don't know what God did for them. You don't know what they went through and the horrible things that God went in their lives. Why? Don't ask yourself why they're shaking so much. You can thank God it's not you. That you didn't have the background, right? So I remember I went to church one time to a church. I never saw it before. I grew up in a Catholic church where everything is predictable. We all knelt down the same time. We all stood up the same time. We all chanted the same scripture verses or whatever we did. And we all knelt like this. We all did the same thing, right? So, I don't know what the point was anyway, but we shouldn't judge people. So God will talk to you when you read the scripture. He will show you scriptures. You'll find it pretty good in there. You'll find what to do in there, how to love people and how to have faith, those kind of things, But there's specific things you can't find in there, join the Salvation Army. Choir or something. There's no scripture for that, right? There's no scripture. Move to Southwind, Indiana. There's no scripture for that. Or marry John. Your husband will be named Bill. You won't find that in the scriptures. So what you have to do is you have to pray. Take time and pray. And then you find a voice on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost will talk to you. So the second way he shows you his word is by his Spirit. The witness, and he'll show you on side. And the only way you can do that is spend time with the Word, praying in the Spirit, praying with tongues, the best way to do it. Or get quiet with God and talk to you. So two general ways. One is Scripture. Second way is the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk to you about, in the next coming time, how he does that. How does that witness work? Because people are being led. I want to show you specifically that John is your wife. All right. John is your, that's a crazy thing. No, John's, he's not a woman. That's the wrong thing. No, that's the wrong prophecy. Erase that off. Can you go back? Erase it off. Okay, we better close right now because Holy Ghost just lifted. Amen. So how does he speak to you? Number one, it's through the written word, right? The word. Secondly, how would he speak to you? By the Holy Spirit, right? So two things. So we want to show you how to do that next time. Everybody stand up and close here right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can you just worship God for 30 seconds? Tell him how wonderful he is. The Bible says we worship God, not because we feel like it, but because he said to do it. Lord, we worship you. We thank you for your holy written word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders, gifts of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for discerning a spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gift of faith, the power gifts, working of miracles, healings, gifts of healing. We thank you for the power gifts, the gifts of interpretations and knowing, Father God. We thank you for that, the gift of whether we should do this or not. But we know by your Holy Spirit, by the supernatural power of God on the inside of us, who is the Spirit of God on the inside of us, he's showing us exactly what to do. Showing us exactly what to do right now. We thank you for the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that will just loose people in an instant from sickness and disease. Jesus, you're already paid for our healing. We don't care if tomorrow the symptoms are worse. Today we know we're healed. And it has to go according to your word. And we're going to make a decision to follow you. We're going to say, God, you can have preeminence in my life. Be first place. We give you our lives, Lord, as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is a reasonable act of worship. We will not be conformed to this world, but we'll be transformed by the renewing of our mind to prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. And we will not worry a thing about family, our children, marriage. We will not worry about finances, material possessions, jobs, employment, career. We will not worry about one thing, about tariffs and about the conditions of the world. We cast it all on you because you love us. You're going to take care of us. You always have and you always will.